Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
First, let's have a look at the main international business stories in the newspapers and websites. In the stupendous company of Kathleen Brooks, the research director of XTB. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Joe.
I hope you had a lovely weekend.
Oh, I did. Thank you. Well, I hope I live up to this description.
Well, you better. No pressure at all. Someone who is often called stupendous, but possibly in a different way, is Elon Musk. He had a surprise visit in China, talking about Tesla sales and production, no doubt.
Yes, absolutely. So it was. I mean, he slipped into China pretty well unannounced, but a very big meeting with the country's premier, who apparently rushed to speak to him, which is kind of interesting for a US-based businessman. But Tesla wanted to go out there to talk about self-driving features in Tesla cars, because the Chinese EV market really demands that. But Tesla hasn't actually rolled that out in China yet. So there's just been an announcement now, actually, that they will partner with Baidu, which is a Chinese multinational technology company, to roll out those self-driving features. And that's really important, because the reason why they couldn't roll them out in China before is because they did all of the tech in the US. And that would mean taking all the drivers' information and data back to the US. Now, that wasn't allowed by the Chinese authorities. So it seems like they've come up with a solution by partnering with Baidu. So it seems like he's very much focusing on the Chinese market, which we know there's a lot of demand for EV vehicles out there, as well as what he said last week, which is, of course, those cheaper vehicles, which he may focus actually on in the European and US markets.
Yes, indeed. His announcement last week about launching a robo-taxi or something like that. He loves his big names, a cyber truck and a robo-taxi. Move on to Italy. It says that it is no longer dependent on Russian oil or gas.
I mean, it's quite the turnaround for Italy, actually, because just in 2020, they used 43% of gas from Russia for their total needs. Now it's down to just 5%, and they've managed that in just 4 years. Now they're saying that they have sufficient sources of supply from a pipeline from Algeria and more accessible ports to allow those giant LNG tankers that are not easy to get delivered anywhere, but they are then able to take them in and get supply from that side as well. So it's interesting, because they've announced this during a G7 climate change conference. I don't think many of us would think LNG, or liquid natrified gas, which is essentially just gas, is a particularly clean technology or clean energy source. But it's really interesting that they're now talking about that in climate change talks, but with the G7. Obviously, they've diverged from, you know, Russian gas. Maybe that's dirtier than the gas that they get at the LNG. Who knows? But I think it's really interesting. It shows that energy security is really key, even when you're talking about climate change.
You're absolutely right. And this conversation possibly wouldn't have taken place 2.5 years ago, when people say, oh, no, it's involving burning fossil fuels. That's out. But it's the transition now away from dependency. It's security of energy supply, as you say, is so important. Talking about energy, sales of alcohol-free Guinness are surging. Now, I must say, I have put a few slates on the Guinness roof when I give up alcohol every January by buying Guinness Zero.
Well, yeah, you're not the only one, though, because the Guinness Zero on draft, they've saw their sales rise by nearly 50% in just a year in Ireland. And they are now expected to be served in 2,000 outlets or pubs across the country by the end of the year. So that's really huge. I mean, I remember even last summer, it was in some places being sold via cans rather than on draft. So this is a big shift. But they're also, Guinness have also announced they're going to invest €25 million in a special production facility in St. James's Gate just for Guinness Zero. And they're expecting to brew 90 million pints of Guinness Zero each year. So I suppose if you can have it without the hangover, then it's obviously proving very popular by the sounds of it.
Absolutely. It settles just like a normal pint of Guinness. And the taste difference is not as huge as it used to be. That's the key ingredient, I think. Now, Dubai Airport. I've been there, and it is a giant airport, but they plan to build something 5 times the size of the existing Dubai airport.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, bigger and better. This new airport that they're planning would have 5 runways, 400 gates, and would be able to would be able to deal with 260 million passengers a year. Now, it's not expected to be completed for another 10 years, but you can see why they're doing it, because there's been a massive surge in air travel in the post-COVID period. But there are some questions around this. Passenger growth numbers, they're not expected to actually grow much further from where they are right now. So it's an interesting time to do it. Also, what are they going to do, as you mentioned, with the other Dubai, the current Dubai airport, because it is a massive site. How's that going to be redeveloped? Otherwise, it's going to be a real eyesore in the middle of Dubai. And they also did say something similar a few years ago, and that didn't ever get off the ground. So it will be interesting to see if they do actually deliver on this one. But the pictures of it look pretty fascinating.
And they will. Have a habit of delivering stuff. They might use a lot of migrant labor, and the labor conditions might be dodgy, but they do have a habit of getting stuff delivered in the UAE. Can we end then with the Japanese yen? It is crashing in value, and yet overnight it's gyrated quite a bit.
Yeah, it really has. So it has punched above 160, which is a key psychological level, Joe, for this against the US dollar. And it's one of the weakest performing currencies in the world right now for the past year. There's been a lot of volatility, as you say, which looks a bit like official intervention. So the Japanese authorities have actually gone in there and bought yen to support their currency. But the reason it's done this is because on Friday there was a Bank of Japan meeting and they didn't hike interest rates. And actually the governor did not sound that bothered about the drop in the yen, because it's been quite good for Japanese exports and also Japanese tourism, which has seen a real surge in the last few months. But it looks like maybe they've been tested to their limit, because we have seen it rise, from 156 on Friday all the way up now to 160. So it seems like they've reached their limit. So I think, you know, as we start a new week, FX volatility really is the name of the game, I think. And it's going to be in the focus of traders today.
Have you been to Japan on holidays by any chance?
No, I haven't. My husband's just got back, but that wasn't holiday. That was a work trip. But we did get some pretty good gifts. I think the exchange rate is working in our favour.
Absolutely. It's a lovely place. So if you can visit, it really is worth, especially if you can get the extra bang for your buck or for your euro or your pound. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us. That's Kathleen Brooks, the Research Director with XTB.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.